Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Last night, it's rumored that Mac Jones had on a scuba suit under his uniform.
I wouldn't put it past him.
And this got passed on from a couple of different quarterbacks that, hey, you can do this. It'll keep you warm. And he did it, apparently, last night. And Mike, I'm just curious. Like, when you went to the Eagles game that year, it was cold as hell. The Falcons-Eagles game, it was cold. But it wasn't, like, below zero, right?
It was with the wind chill. It was in the 20s.
Okay.
But I had, like, layer upon layer. I had, like, this big, heavy, like, you know, like, thermal raincoat thing that and I had scarf on scarf and a hoodie. I had my Falcon colors. That was the problem. You know, Eagles fans, you know, I wasn't going to go incognito. You know, last time as we left the game, it was Al Michaels and Mike Tirico getting in the van that they were staying at the hotel. And Mike Tirico goes, good luck with that.
but
it was luckily you're so packed in. But we were in the lower bowl. I couldn't imagine how cold it was in the upper levels up there. The coldest I ever was for a football game was the Army-Navy game with my dad when I was a kid. And that was when wool coats, it was before the down jackets were just starting to come into vogue back then. That's how long ago. But, yeah, that's the coldest I've ever been.
Green Bay for me. And it's just, you know, it's just the nature of it. You don't know. Last night, though, if you watch that Buffalo game, you know it was cold. And it was cold because, like, the officials' pants were blowing. You saw the flag and the way it was moving. And Mike, to Mike's point, that windshield, that's the thing, man. It can be 30, but then the windshield makes you feel like, you know, two below. And so you're freezing your blank off. But, yeah, man, it just made me laugh because I saw that earlier today, and I was like, Mac Jones had a scuba suit on. I've seen a lot of guys, and you see this. Guys perpetrate. I say this because I don't care who you are or where you're from. Cold is cold, and you see these guys come out before the game with no shirt on, running around the field, trying to get ready, and you're like, I know you're cold, bro. I know you are.
Again, it's you do what you got to do to get yourself all fired up, but I'm with you on that one, man. I'm just like, I don't know how the guys do that, obviously, especially for defensive linemen, because you don't want the offensive line, or vice versa, to get leverage on you to be able to, you know, grab the jersey and do that. But, yeah, man, I know that as I've gotten older and now that I've got a protective layer of blubber, the cold doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah.
But by the way, that could be a good game winner tonight. The first time you ever had alcohol, because that was the first time my dad, father of the year, right, Carl, he had the binocular flask. It was the Army-Navy game. Yeah. It was like 77 or whatever, 78. And my dad's like, here, this will warm you up. And so he unscrews the eyepiece. And I think it was out of a Southern Comfort, I think my dad had in the binoculars.
I remember those binoculars. That was kind of a hot item back in the day. That was way before cell phones and all this, guys.
Binoculars, it doubled as flasks. So, again, for you, a lot easier than having to wear like one of those bags that you strap to your waist that guys wear to games now.
By the way, Army is really good. I think they beat up Navy this weekend. That's a great game. Well, Mike and I always talk about it. It's the pageantry of it, and it's going to happen this weekend. But Army's really good. I think it'll be a blowout. But
by the way, I'd love to see them. I know the cost involved to get the everybody down from West Point and from Annapolis. Wouldn't you love to see that game in Mercedes-Benz 1 year?
Oh, absolutely. Like a neutral site kind of
moving around. I mean, they moved it from New York to Philly and Baltimore, but I'd love to see it in the South.
I agree. I'd love to have an opportunity to check that out up close and personal. It's been a long time since Mike, I can't even tell you when. I know you said you used to go all the time with your dad, but
yeah,
I'm trying.
And my
dad
was a Marine, so it was always go Navy, beat Army.
And my dad was Army guy. Right. So I'm trying to remember. But yeah, we always watched that game. It was a big deal in the house, and it'll be interesting this weekend. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Poll questions up, guys. I'll tell you flat out, I just don't know if Georgia's built to come from behind. And you can tell me, well, of course they are. But when you play with leads, as they've done pretty much all season long, and no one threatened them after the second half, it's easy. And so as we look at Georgia, as they turn the page and they start trying to get ready for Michigan, guys, Bama again scored more points in the second quarter and a quick strike in the third quarter. That was 18 minutes than UGA gave up in September, October, and November combined. So it's a concern. And I just wonder, as we have our poll question up at Dukes and Bell, do you believe UGA is built to win if they are, you know, trailing in a big game? And a lot of people hear the poll question, the answers, guys, yes, 100% all in. No, don't have the stars. And I asked, where are those next level guys on the outside? And then only, this is the other answer, Mike, only with JT at quarterback. A lot of people are going there.
You know, and I know that we asked about Kirby and the big games. Look, obviously beating the Sooners and the Rose Bowl, that's one of the greatest, you know, games in the history of Georgia football. Unfortunately, you know, it's not the national championship, it was the semifinal. But to me, and this is something you and I talked a little bit about on Friday's show as we're kind of hyping up the game, is Alabama is a team that, you know, they, when they get up on Georgia, they think Georgia can't beat them. You know, some of those guys who've stuck around for a couple of years, they also, Carl, Nick Saban addressed it yesterday, the rat poison was, in his words, yummy. Because, you know, everybody was told that, you know, oh, this is Georgia. And meanwhile, Alabama is only the defending champion and top 10 in all those defensive categories, which overlooked a little bit. We just were buying that Georgia was this. And again, I apologize. Sometimes things get their own momentum. But, how many times you and I said, if not now, when?
Yeah.
And it may still happen, but I don't take any solace in a wake-up call analogy used by Kirby and the players.
All SEC first team just came out. Quarterback's Bryce Young. Duh. Jordan Davis makes first team, obviously. N'Kobe Dean, Buckus winner, makes first team. I'm just looking at some of the names here. For the dogs, and there are three, four dogs on this first team, and rightfully so. But, you know, I'm looking at the wide receivers. Alabama's Jameson Williams, Mike, first team. Yeah. He just shredded the dogs. That to me is the issue, guys. And when you start talking about, okay, who's that guy? You bring up the Oklahoma game. Was that team offensively better than this team?
You could argue.
It was.
You could argue. I mean, well, the running backs and look, I love James Cook, and I think in the proper setting, James Cook can be the number one and be a legitimate star Heisman candidate, but he's never going to get that workload here at Georgia. But, yeah, but you can't compare that with Sony and obviously in Chubb. You know, DeAndre Swift was the third guy in that. That was a hell of a time. Think about that, just the running backs.
Yeah, I just feel like that group was – That offense, I thought, was better. And that was with Jake Fromm, by the way.
That's right.
So, all right, man, much more to get to with the dogs coming up. We'll talk more about it as part of our dog report. We'll go around college football coming up in about an hour from now. Right now, though, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Mike, do you believe this is Big Ben's last year? Do
yes.
you think that it
yes.
is?
Yes, okay. I do. And again, they may just... Just like the year we tied him with Mike Vick, they might backdoor in the playoffs again, but it's just the Ravens have got to be kicking themselves. And I understand Harbaugh. We debated this, the logic of going forward yesterday. But Big Ben, every now and again, Carl, he can do some of those things. I just don't think he can do it anymore on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mike Tomlin was asked about it, about Big Ben's future, and he was like, we're not worried about it right now.
Ben doesn't allow it to become an issue. Ben has been pretty solid in terms of his expression is that he's singly focused on what it is that we're doing now. He'll deal with those things on the other side of this journey, and I'm with him on it. And okay. So it is not a distraction. I thought it was funny that it was seemingly a story this weekend, to be quite honest with you.
He took a shot at Schefter right there. Yep. Schefter put the story out there, and Tomlin's like, I don't even know why it's a story. But, okay, so can they put it aside? That's the Thursday night game, by the way. Can the Steelers put it aside? They got the Vikings. All right, they beat the Ravens. Ravens go for two. We know how that finished Sunday. Can they beat the Vikings and all of a sudden find themselves back in this thing for real?
Well, with the Vikings still unhealthy, and Zimmer, this is basically it for his job now, because how many more years are you going to roll with this? Everyone loves the guy, including that woman who's 25 years younger than him, you lucky dog. But Vikings.
Are you blaming this on her?
No, it's not. It was a distraction. God bless. Two-game losing streak. They are 4-4 in conference. They lose a lot of the tiebreakers, so they really need to get it in gear, and it's got to start this week.
Vikings at home, their 3-point favorite on Thursday night. Meanwhile, guys, Giants have some decisions to do. Some people say clean house completely.
Yes.
But Daniel Jones, okay, it doesn't look like he's going to play this week. He's got to get more tests on his injured neck today. The results indicated that he's probably going to miss another week. But, Mike, do you change quarterbacks? Do you fire the coach and the general manager?
In the words of Gary Oldman in the movie The Professional, everyone gets fired. Yeah, man. Gettleman, Coach Sergeant Slogan Part 2. Everybody's got to go. Find a trade partner for Saquon Barkley because he can't stay healthy, and he is unfortunately now proof positive. You just don't go that far high up in the draft for a running back anymore. But, I mean, the whole thing is flawed, and I just think they're kind of in that mode where they're chasing their tail. They've been down this road before, mostly the 70s. It's been this bad. So we'll see. I think you've got to get a completely fresh start, and it's got to start with the general manager.
Here's what's crazy, guys. We just talked about Jake Fromm. So Mike Glennon started in the loss to the Dolphins. He's in the concussion protocol. Guess right. Who's the only healthy quarterback?
Fromm time.
So he just got there off the Bills practice squad last week, and now he's the only guy that's going to be on the active roster. That's their choice, Mike. I'm guessing they're going to go to Fromm.
Yeah, and look, by the way, Gettleman was with the Giants when they built those teams that were able to beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but I don't know why he went out of Carolina and lost his way. So I just think you look at the team, you say there's less star power on the Giants than there is on the Falcons, you know, and we beat them for a reason. I mean, they just – Saquon Barkley, it's a shame. The guy was a world beater and everybody's number one draft pick in fantasy to a guy that you don't know what he is at this stage.
No, you don't, man. Let's hear from Mac Jones talking about the lack of passes. Everybody was making a big deal of this. Again, Mike and I mentioned this as part of our headline segment, but a lot of the conversation was how in this day and age in the NFL do you not throw the ball more than 20 times and win a football game? Well, the New England Patriots did that last night.
You know, we run the plays that are called, and we had a game plan, and obviously that changes a little bit with the elements. But at the end of the day, I think we had the looks that we were looking for to run the ball, and we just kept doing it. So, like I said, offensive line created the holes, and those guys did some tough running, not even to mention the receivers getting in there to block too. So everyone played a role, and it was just great to watch and see everyone just have that effort.
See, this is why this kid's fitting in. He's not at the podium going, what about my numbers?
Right.
222 rushing yards for the Patriots. They gashed the Bills last night. And here the guy is, the quarterback, going, everybody played a role. But you only threw it three times. I don't care. No big deal.
Hey, you know what? You play, and we know how Josh McDaniels is able to, you know, 1 week it's running the ball, 1 week it's throwing the ball. 1 week the tight ends get featured. In this case, they basically, you know, ran like not a single wing, but they just ran the football. You know, I mean, I remember I told you the story. The week the Panthers came in here, the week that Steve Smith got into D'Angelo Hall's head, and I think it was Winkie was a quarterback, and they literally ran a single wing. It was ridiculous, and they beat the Falcons, knock us out of any shot for the playoffs that year. But no, last night, as Carl said, the weather was just miserable. You really had no chance to do anything. It's amazing that you think if you saw the end of the game, how close the Bills came to actually throwing. He had the ball in the receiver's hands on three occasions, near, you know, close enough for a touchdown, couldn't get it done.
This game starts last night, and if I would have told you Mac Jones is going to go 2 for 3 for 19 yards in the game, he's going to throw the ball three times, complete 2 for 19 yards, and the Patriots win. You would have called me crazy.
Plays that are called, and
yeah. You would have called me crazy.
No. And well, we already played the soundbite earlier in the show of Sean McDermott basically saying, you know, you can crown Belichick. Well, most people already have crowned him. But he also kind of called out his offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll. Daboll's the guy, remember, he spent years with the Patriots. He was with Belichick. He was with Saban.
That's right.
The question was, is he doing a good enough job to set this offense up for success? I mean, obviously, Josh Allen started the season looking like an MVP candidate. McDermott said yes. And then he said, well, I didn't think, honestly, we took advantage of opportunities tonight.
Ooh.
You know, so he says, we're 1 for 4 in the red zone, so we've got to figure that part of it out. So basically, McDermott is shooting at everybody, man, including his own OC.
Yeah, no doubt, guys. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. You think Daboll goes back to the college ranks? I always thought he was trying to get a head coaching job in the NFL.
Yeah, man. I mean, geez, coach is already throwing their guys under the bus. We saw what happened to Joe Brady with Matt Rhule over there in Carolina. This guy's considered one of the better guys. And Josh Allen has been such a star, right? But, I mean, there's things. Buffalo is starting to have those games where you scratch your head. Now, this one was a wacko one because of the weather. But there's been a couple times this year where, like the Chiefs don't pass the eye test on offense, nor do the Buffalo Bills with all those weapons.
No, I know. Speaking of passing the test, we're going to hear from Arthur Smith when we come back. He's talking about still in the mix for the playoffs. Statistically, right, what the numbers say, he's right. But in our hearts, I know you feel differently. I know you feel like, okay, yeah, they are, but what's got to happen? When are we going to go on like a 2 or 3 or 4 game win streak? And I don't know if that's going to happen, Mike. They got a chance to beat the Carolina Panthers this weekend, obviously. But we'll hear from Arthur Smith when we come back. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. You all know.
It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we're going to talk more dogs coming up at 4 o'clock, guys, and continue to get your thoughts. Follow us, by the way, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes in this radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. And, of course, follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Poll questions up at Dukes and Bell 929, talking about the dogs, Mike. And here's the deal. You said you asked this question about Kirby, and a guy hit me up, and he goes, he wants to know if you're saying you don't trust Kirby. Are you saying that in these big games?
I just don't know why there's – why is it the same thing? Why is the quarterback the most important position on the field? Why is that not in order? Why isn't it in order? Why hasn't JT Daniels gotten back on the field? What is the compulsion? And again, I get the argument. I mean, and we now know that Carl, in some of those games against lesser competition, he's great. But when you get down, he is not a quarterback who is going to bring you back. He just is not. He's not that guy. He is the ultimate game manager. That is what Stetson Bennett is. And we all love the guy, and he's a rootable story. But I don't give a crap. I want Georgia to win a national championship. So I just don't understand how. What, and again, I maybe someday, I know you got more insight on this than I do about whatever happened with Justin Fields and this and that. But it's like you get all these great quarterbacks that. And one time or another come through Athens, but for some reason they don't get on the field. It's hard. And Daniels is undefeated as a starter for the Dogs.
Well, listen.
And a bowl victory over a team, which, by the way, is in the Final Four this year.
Correct. Yeah, over Cincinnati. I'll say this, because I've always told you it's not my place to tell that story.
I mean to put you on blast, but you're friendly for the family.
Yeah, but I've said that, about, and we're talking about Justin Fields. But I'll say this. What you're seeing transpire is no different than what transpired with him. And I'm going to say that without having to tell the story, without having to say anything more. But what you're seeing is the same thing that transpired. And so, I don't know whether or not Kirby feels like, truly, I'm talking about deep down. Because it's one thing to tell us, and I'm talking about the media and the fan base. Hey, we got a guy and we feel good. And then you go home. And then in those real quiet moments, you go, man, can this guy really get it done? Now, you're doing the work. You see him every day at practice. No one knew more than Kirby whether or not Stetson Bennett was going to be able to do what he did this year. But the reality is, in two of the biggest games that you've seen over the last 2 years, we're going 2020, regular season at Tuscaloosa, and then you fast forward to Saturday.
Right.
This kid has thrown 5 picks in the past 2 meetings. Okay? 4 of them with the Bulldogs trailing in the second half. Is that pressing, or is that him just not being good enough?
I think it's just a guy that he's a great competitor. But we just said it. You need the elite athlete. The argument started, and this is where we're at. As Carl likes to say in the show, we go with what we know. Right? We start the year with, all right, Georgia's finally got the quarterback situation in place. Last year, call it the gap year, whatever it was, with Jamie Newman, he decides to opt out, and then you're scrambling, and then it's a shame because you had enough talent to probably compete for a championship last year, but you didn't have the quarterback situation dialed in. But now this year, all the ducks are in a row. And even if we have an injury with JT Daniels, well, I've got Carson Beck and Brock. Wait, no, I don't. It's right back to Stetson Bennett. I don't know if it's a comfort thing or just he doesn't trust the other guys. You know, like Nate McMillan and any other NBA coach doesn't want to play a rookie. But, I mean, at some point, you know, these superstar, five-star quarterbacks, you want to take them out of the box and see what these guys can do. In this case, Carl, I don't know what's going on with JT. If it's a health thing, then say it's a health thing. Some people notice, is his helmet even on the sideline? Is even would you even go in the game at some point against Alabama? It was mop-up duty. I don't understand it. And initially we said, look, you know what? Betson is good enough. And then the Alabama came. Now Betson is not good enough because this team isn't all that's cracked up to be.
Well, he's not good enough, Mike, because it gets back to my original theory. Way back when, you have to score points to win these chips. It gets back to my original theory when everybody said, I told you guys, got to score 40 points or more.
You said the Heisman Trophy / NFL caliber quarterback's got to come through here.
Got to come through. And you know what? You know what Alabama's averaging, right? 43 points a game. Now, they averaged more last year. It was a better offense last year with Mac Jones and those guys. And that's been proven out by the guys that are in the NFL. But the fact is, they're still scoring points.
Right.
And if you don't believe that that's a factor, because we all got caught up in what, Mike? Defense, we're going to hold everybody to 6 points. No, you're not.
Just last week I said, you know what, maybe Kirby is going to throw the college football world on its ear by saying, I can do it old school with an A.J. McCarron or McElroy, whatever you want to call it, your game manager that he used to have over in Alabama when he was an assistant under Nick Saban. But it still comes back to, you know what, we actually got it right initially when you and I said, you've got to have the superstar NFL first-round pick. And then we were lulled into believing that this could work until you play the biggest game of the year. And then I hear Kirby and I hear upperclassmen on Georgia go, well, this was a good wake-up call for us. What the frick is the SEC championship? It's the team that has blocked you from getting to the national championship since, well, as long as anyone can remember, going back before Mark Richt, and this is a game which somehow you're not dialed in for? Then that goes to Kirby. That goes to your initial question. How does Kirby not have these Georgia Bulldogs prepared from a game plan, mentally, the whole shebang, to let what happened happen on Saturday?
What do you guys think? 404-741-0929. Brock hits us up on our poll question at Dukes and Bell. He says, you forgot one of the options. It should be with the right coach. Dog fans, are you telling me now? Are you trying to tell me right now that that's how you feel about Kirby? See, this is what's interesting. He's been the right guy forever, and now he's not the right guy. See, I don't agree with that. I do think that he's making bad coaching decisions when it comes to trying to put the best team on the field to win. If he put JT in, as I said, and we lose, okay, we were losing anyway. But that's the only thing I'm criticizing him about. I'm not telling you that Kirby's not the right guy for Georgia. That, to me, now that's a reach. I'm not going to go that far when I've seen this guy come in, recruit the hell out of the country, right, have the number one recruiting classes, have a chance to play for a national championship. By the way, that's all you can ask. I know Georgia, we're craving one, but that's all you can ask. Can we get there and have a chance to play for one? He has. He's won the SEC. He's played in the SEC championship game a couple of different times now, and he hasn't been here 15 years. So I can't buy that he's not the right guy, but Mike, we have every right to question these damn coaching decisions when it comes to putting the best team on the field to win.
Look, I mean, Dabo Sweeney built a machine up there that was able to beat Nick Saban twice. You know, Ed Ogeron, and it's already out of a job, but Ed Ogeron was, you want to call it the perfect season, but he did put the staff together and had the perfect weapon, and they had a year they could beat Alabama and get there in that division. You know, Jimbo Fisher found a way this year. Now, the rest of the season, go figure that one out, but it just boggles the mind that, you know, I literally had guys today on Twitter, some Georgia fans, well, you know, Saban is Saban, so we're never going to beat Saban. So you mean to tell me in perpetuity, the Georgia Bulldogs are going to be, what was it, the Washington Generals to the Harlem Globetrotters that are the Crimson Tide? I mean, you got to step up for the big moments. And to me, it shows. You had another lead against Alabama, and here you go. And you wind up getting smoked in a game that felt a lot like a home game for much of it.
Now, I know when you talk about scoring, at least for me, you know, people go, well, yeah, Cincinnati doesn't score like that. Yes, they do. They had some clunkers along the way. I mean, it's just what it is. They beat Navy by 7. You know, they got into a game with Tulsa, and everybody said, oh, they only won by 8 points. But if you go look at their average scoring, it's 49, 42, 52. Mm. They're scoring points, and they have too. And I think when you look at Michigan last week, Mike, the dominant play in the championship game, Iowa, their offense sucks. It just does. But that's not to say that Michigan is not a team that's capable of scoring a lot of points. So that's where I'm at with this whole thing about – Heisman caliber NFL ready quarterbacks, which everybody that's beaten Georgia has had or been in the SEC championship game and moved on to the national championship, and then those next level playmakers on the outside. If Pickens is healthy, I'm willing to put him out there. But Mike, I don't know if he is. He caught one ball Saturday.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, he's technically ahead of schedule from where he was when he did get injured last year. But, yeah, we were led to believe that he was going to be out there. So, and that wasn't a game you were going to slow roll it. If he's good to go, he's going to have an impact in that game. And, by the way, Cincinnati, I know that with Alabama, Desmond Ridder, I wasn't sold on him last year, but he did take a huge leap this year, Carl, in every measurable category. Yeah. You know, as far as completion percentage actually went down, but the touchdowns went way up. And he's a better weapon in the red zone throwing the ball. Last year, obviously, he was more one-dimensional. So, it'd be interesting to see what they come up with. Fickle's everybody's, you know, flavor of the month right now, so we'll see what they can do against Bama. But I it's hard not to see Bama advancing.
All right, we're asking about Georgia, asking you about Coach Smart. It's Dukes and Bell. I want to take Mike and Noonan. And Mike, we appreciate you listening to Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, tell us what you're thinking, Mike.
Hey, man. So here's what I was thinking earlier in the season. They were winning these games, but from a quarterback perspective and position, they were not allowing that person, whether they couldn't or they shouldn't or they could, you know, they weren't throwing the ball very often. And so I don't really feel that they were ever dialed in on that side of the ball and that skill set. And now we come to these big games where you have to have big players making big plays and being able to psychologically make those passes and on a consistent basis. And so even though I wanted the Dogs to win and I think it was their time to win, realistically, when you peel back the onion and you look at those and you dissect those things, I just don't think they have the elite quarterback that they need to lead the team to where they want to go. When Mark Richt was there, they had great athletes that all went into the NFL, but they didn't have great coaching. And now we have great coaching, but we don't have the greatest athletes. So we need to get it together and make it happen, but I just don't think they have the right people in the right position down there.
It's a great point. And you know, Stetson Bennett, Carl, 21st in the nation in touchdowns, because to the caller's point, didn't really ask him to do all that stuff. And the limited, you look at how many times he wasn't even getting to 20 throws. We joked around. We said those are like Buck Ballew type numbers, right? As far as some of the stat sheets. But then you get to the big game where you need the athlete, you need the guy to produce, where there is a game plan, but you need an individual athlete to be a superior, to be, again, Bryce. What was Bryce Young? He was the best athlete on the field, right?
He was.
I mean, if not the best athlete, he needs to be one of the best athletes on the field.
To Mike's call on Noonan. Mike, thank you. Great phone call. We appreciate you listening. Then they're not built to come from behind, which answers my question today. If you believe what Mike just said, and if they don't have that, then they're not built to come from behind. That concerns me as we move forward. Because if you're not able to do that, Mike, then you're not going to win this thing. And I love this text or this tweet from Alan. Alan says, Dukes, don't panic. Why didn't we run the ball? Ask Todd Monken that. You went completely away from it when you started to stress and worry about the fact that Alabama was going to score and you knew it. And then you start going, well, we got to get away from that. We got to throw the ball. No, you don't.
No, and they were still in the game. You and I, we went through the play-by-plays, if you missed the show yesterday, guys, where they were still in. It was a one-score game, and they completely abandoned the run. It was one. And they were getting yardage, too. And I called the phrase, Carl, I used the phrase chicken switch. Like, they hit the chicken switch, and now we're going to get into a passing contest.
Mike and Noonan, that is. It's Mike Dukes and Bell and Mike Bell. But Mike and Noonan, I want to mention this, and I think you just hit it on the head. We didn't appreciate, or maybe we did, when Mark Richt was the coach and he brought in Matthew Stafford and Shockley and Aaron Murray. David Green was there. I mean, it's just what it is, guys. Where is Kirby's NFL talented quarterback? Stukes and Bell.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Dukes and Bell. Appreciate all the input. Mark Cunningham says Dukes Kirby's NFL quarterback is the one he chose not to play. He's in Chicago. Reginald tried to tell us his NFL quarterback in Chicago. Justin Fields played at Ohio State, guys. It's just what it is. Yes, he was recruited by Georgia, went to Georgia, but he earned his stripes at Ohio State. So it's a great example. Appreciate you guys jumping in. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, man. More college conversation coming your way. More on the Dogs in 20 minutes. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Georgia Hemp Company.
Oh, Bo. Mike's got, he's got my dirt for my Christmas present. Are your Christmas shopping done? Is it finished?
Hell no. I mean, my God, I just started. My wife was like, you know, we always have to buy for, we kind of divvy it up, right? Mm-hmm. Where I buy for my family and she buys for hers, because that way, that's our way of splitting it up and sharing the responsibility and the money portion. And with her family, we always do where everybody gives a gift for everybody. So it's like her sister will get me a gift and then get Amy a gift, and then Amy will get her sisters both gifts. Like, so everybody's – there's a lot of gifts going on, and we were talking about it, and they decided to do a where you kind of a blind draw between the kids.
Okay.
So everybody only gets one person. And it was through like a generator, and then that person can give you an Amazon wish list of things, and there's a cap on it, but of things that, you know, they might want you to get. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I went through generating my wish list the other day, and I just kept clicking on stuff. So I gave my person like 25, and it's like a Secret Santa thing. So okay. You don't know who got you. And I gave the person, I gave them like 30 things for me. Luckily, the person I got only gave me like 5 things. So I've got that checked off, and I've got one of Amy's gifts checked off. But other than that, I've got nothing.
I don't know. We talk about this every year for the holidays about this time. But I mean, to me, gift cards are the easiest. Is it impersonal? Sure. But one thing we know, guys don't know how to wrap because a present's going to look like crap. We'll have tape all over to be inside out. Like that episode of Hard Knocks when Ezekiel Elliott was trying to wrap the box. Remember that, Carl? You know, so.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or maybe it was Dak trying to wrap Zeke's present. Either way, I'm just saying, I go with gift cards, man. Gift cards, simple, easy. Everybody gets what they want, right? There's no confusion, you know? I mean, hey, although I did learn years ago, Carl, I used to give cards. It was always easy. I'd be at the when I lived in Buckhead, I'd go to the mall, and I used to give everybody, like, Gap gift cards, right? You know, the Gap store. And then finally, one year, Marvin Bird, our old producer, comes up to me, Carl, and goes, you know, Mike, brothers really don't shop at the Gap, to be honest with you.
So you were like, okay, thanks for the heads up.
I was like, okay, well, then let me switch that out. So from then on, it was LIDS. Everybody got LIDS cards. So I learned. But other than that, gift cards, that's where I go.
Well, I got a policy. If I ask you and you tell me, I will get that is that gift. If you don't tell me, then most likely you're getting a gift card, unless I can find something. Like, I don't even ask my brother-in-law that on my side, my sister's husband. I don't even ask him because I know – I'll go buy a bottle of whiskey in a certain range because he is a connoisseur of it. He's big on it. I'll go buy it for him, and he won't have an issue. But, oh, thanks. No big deal. But, you know, my nieces, they specifically say, give us a credit card, which means they want, like, the Visa gift card. Right. So I put a certain amount on each one, and we're out the door. So I'll do all my shopping, and then, like, the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas – I'll go to the Kroger and get the Visa gift cards and put a certain amount on
I just loved when I was a kid, man, the relatives who would give you the cash in the envelope card.
I agree.
That was the best. Yeah. The best. I mean, thanks. Like, my dad had, like, this crooked lawyer friend, Uncle Dan. Uncle Dan would give me $200, 2 C-notes when you were a kid. Oh, man. I'm like, my dad goes, you know where that money came from. But anyway, but it was the best.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. You open the card and there'd be money in there. You'd be like, because you could do whatever you wanted.
It beats a sweater from grandma.
It's great. My grandmother always did that. She always gave us. And then one year, it was like $25 forever because my grandparents were raised in the Great Depression. Right. And then one year, it was a little bit more. And I was like, Grandma, I think you gave me the wrong one. No, inflation.
Inflation. Nice.
So this year, if your grandmother or grandfather gives you the same amount, say, well, what about inflation?
Cost of living increase, please, Grandma.
By the way, real quick, and I'm not going to hark on this, if I ever hear another Georgia fan call the radio station and say, well, Georgia just don't have the athletes to compete, Chris has been instructed to hang up on them and block their number. Because
wow.
Georgia has five stars at every position, including quarterback. So I don't want to hear that they don't have the athletes to compete with Alabama. I heard Todd McShay say the other day there's like 14 guys on Georgia's starting 22 that are all day one or day two guys, including like seven or eight or nine or some crap like that on defense. So I never want to hear again that Alabama started a guy at center who had never started a game in his career, McLaughlin, his first start ever.
They shuffled guys on the line. Squid Billy's got a valid point, Carl. The offensive line was something that had given them issues all year.
Georgia has athletes in every position.
I don't think that's the issue. I understand what you're saying about the caller who called in. I thought he was specifically talking about that special athlete at quarterback. But here's the deal. They do have five stars, but they're not playing the guy that they need to play, Bo.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mark Richt was a good coach, and he was a good recruiter. Kirby Smart is a good coach, and he is a top three in the country recruiter.
Yeah.
So all of I hate Kirby Smart stuff, which I don't. I know how good Kirby is, and he is. They have the players. They have had top three classes since the day he stepped on campus. So they have the athletes. Speaking of athletes, Alabama has some, and so does Michigan. And Georgia might have to play both of them before it's all said and done. And particularly at defense and at pass rusher. I'm a fan of Will Anderson, big fan. I love Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Will Anderson, and Aiden Hutchins. Hutchinson is now going to New York for the Heisman Trophy presentation. And someone, my buddy Stan on Twitter, posted the comparisons for the stats. And I think Hutchinson's got like 58 total tackles with 15.5 for loss and 14 sacks. Will Anderson has 91 tackles total, 31.5 for loss, and 15.5 sacks. Why is Will Anderson, guys, not in New York, but Aiden Hutchinson is?
Good question. I mean, I don't know. Somebody in Michigan rigged it, Carl.
Well, I think – here's what I do think. Michigan being relevant in the conversation and having a dominant player like that, I'm not going to tell you that it means somebody should not have gone, but I would tell you that they should have added another guy there. And even if he wasn't going to win, invite him to go. It's a great question. But I also think right now, you know, Hutchinson has got, he's got the buzz. I said this to Mike earlier. As good as Jordan Davis has been, it's not a sexy position. Hutchinson's getting to the quarterback. He's got the dancing. People know who he is. He's going to be a first. There's a different vibe around him. And so therefore, I think he's getting more exposure at this particular moment than the other guy.
Yeah. I would say this. Will Anderson is another big part of why Alabama has the fourth best rushing defense in the country. Now they did lack in the back end, but you know, they also had a bunch of guys that moved on in the NFL.
Yeah. But Bryce Young's going to be the Heisman. There's no way he's not.
Yeah, and I mean, think that might be – that's a good point. That might be why Will Anderson didn't get to go, because Bryce Young did go. Now, Alabama did have two guys last year, but they both played offense and they were direct – they're directly responsible for each other's inflated stats. Last night, Bill Belichick turned into Paul Johnson on Monday Night Football. And afterwards, Jordan Poyer and Michael Hyde, who are on the Bills' defense, or defensive stars for them, or starters, they were asked if they were embarrassed about their run defense by a certain reporter named Jerry Sullivan.
Over 40 years since the team has won a game running, that two times in a game, passing that two times.
Is that embarrassing? I mean, what kind of question?
What are we doing, bro?
What kind of question is that?
It's a question. The nation's going to be criticizing you.
I think we gave up 7 points.
Yeah,
14 to 10.
Is that the final score?
We made stops when we had to. They had one big run. I mean, they got good backs. They kept coming back to a couple runs. I mean, I don't know how you want us to answer that question.
There you go.
Now, Micah Hyde wasn't done. When he left the podium, he called out Jerry Sullivan again.
This goes in this respect. It's all about respect. I come here every single week and I answer your questions truthfully, honestly. I appreciate you guys. Don't do that.
There you you go.
Was that question out of line?
What was the specific question again? Just so I want to make sure we get it right.
Basically, he asked him that. He said, "Hey, look, everybody saw you guys get ran through tonight on defense. Should you be embarrassed about your performance?"
I mean, the fact that they only threw the ball three times, basically, in essence.
Yeah, I think more this is about the wording. Yeah.
Should you be embarrassed? I mean, how do you feel the fact that, you know, they basically were one-dimensional against you? There's ways you can ask the question. Basically said, you know, some are going to say you were embarrassed out there tonight. I can understand how that would get under the skin of some guys.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is about the wording more than it is about the nature of the question. The nature of the question, to Mike's point, is they really didn't do anything extensively tonight to beat you guys. But yet, you couldn't find a way to get it done. You had four chips into the red zone. You got one score. You should be embarrassed. I get it. If you're a Bills fan, you probably feel that way. If I'm trying to get an answer out of a guy, I'm not going to ask him if he's embarrassed. Hey, Grady, are you embarrassed the way Tom Brady threw the ball around on Sunday?
Well,
it doesn't play for the answer that you're trying to get in that moment. Now, if you're on a talk show, that's different, Mike, to my, you know, line of questioning to Keanu Neal back when, asking him whether he was 100%. But in that moment after a game, Bo, and these guys are already heated, and I need to get an answer, that's not going
to
get it.
And to be quite honest, and I also think, you know, the Bills showed some class there because, you know, there's some guys out there. Talk to the other room. Talk to the offense. We did our job, you know, because basically the Bills, their Bills' own coach was calling out his offensive coordinator, but the players took the high road there but didn't like the way again, you're basically saying I'm a chump the way you asked the question. Like when Carl said, you know, Debo, Keanu comes on. Keanu Neal joins us. Keanu, they say you're done. That's how Carl, I know what I heard.
Yeah, but it's a talk show format. I'm not in face.
That's a joke.
After a game.
No, time out. I'm joking. You didn't actually say, never mind.
I know that, Mike. But I'm saying some people took it that way. Like, I had people ask me, why'd you ask him that the first question? It was going to get asked whether it was the third or the fifth question. But right. My format allows me to do that versus after a game. You have to know your setting. I've never gone after a guy after a game because I know these guys are busting their ass trying to win. And then you'd go, you should be embarrassed. Well, dude, you get out of here.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't have anything to add to that. By the way, guys, as always, Yeah Man No Man is brought to you by the Georgia Hemp Company. And the holidays are approaching, so you can stock up with them. You can get your CBD and Happy Holiday Hemp products delivered right to your door for free when you order first class. From now to New Year's Day, shipping is free at thegeorgiahempcompany.com. Or you can be like me and you can go on down to one of the three locations. I went down there today because my neck's still so banged up. I've went through a whole thing of Cool Stick, so I had to get more. So go visit our friends at the Georgia Hemp Company and at GeorgiaHempCompany.com. Chris, get us out of here.
All right, man. We got plenty more to dive into. I don't know why you guys are hot when we tell you where's Kirby's NFL caliber quarterback. It's kind of what it is. All year long, we've said, hey, we can win without one. We still might. But I know you're doubting like I am. We're going to talk about that and much more as the coaching carousel continues at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.